am down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still, and wait here in the silence until you come and sit.
Welcome to Ask the Expert on WMTR 1250 AM, a Beasley Media Group station, streaming live on WMTRAM.com and TalkStreamLive.com. I'm Jesse Fries. Julie Briggs and I host the award-winning Your New Jersey Connection and Ask the Expert, the longest-running Ahead of the Curve talk shows on the station and in the state. Tis the season for hope and healing in a tragic year where more than 300,000 people have died in America from coronavirus then perished in World War II. However, there is good news on the way. Saving vaccines are making their way across the United States as we talk. Meanwhile, with millions out of work and one out of six food insecure, homeless, and barely surviving, everyone has the ability to reach out and help someone in need. Those who are lonely and hurting, to make this world a better place, it's time to be an angel for others. Angels are all around us, and in these chaotic, challenging times, we need them more than ever. Angels have been with us since the beginning of time, recorded down through the ages in the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran. More than 83% of all Americans believe in angels or have had an angel experience. Angels inspire us, comfort us, save us, and anyone can reach out and touch their guardian angels. Angels can appear out of nowhere in moments in our lives when we most need them. For as long as recorded time, there have been stories of celestial beings joining us on earth to protect and guide us in moments of crisis and during a disaster, before or after an accident. And today's guests, back with me on Angels and Miracles, Chaplain James Cavanaugh, Lainey Belcastro, and Loyan Mayer on true angel encounters that have changed lives. Lainey Belcastro, native of Morris County, a talented and prolific writer, contributing author to Chicken Soup for the Soul. She has six stories out right now in five Chicken for the Soul books. Inspirational stories about hope, answered prayers, and divine intervention. She also has a very healing book for children who have lost someone they love in their lives, and we'll be reviewing these during the show. Welcome back, Lainey Belcastro.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, and Merry Christmas and beautiful holidays to everyone, and Jesse, a big hug to you.
Oh, thank you. Loyan Mayer, author of the inspirational Celestial Conversations, Healing Relationships After Death, a book of journaling. Loyan herself has received information and consultation when she lost her daughter. She died of suicide 15 years ago. She is a former host of Angel Cable television show, workshop presenter, teacher, Louise Hay, Healing Your Life course, a grief counselor, Reiki master, and a student in A Course in Miracles, co-founder of an international grief group which serves New York, New Jersey, I believe that's New Mexico, and England. And welcome back, Loyan Mayer.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. Thank you. This is a special time for our friends to be together to talk about angels.
It certainly is. And also with us, Chaplain James Cavanaugh, Eucharistic minister. He's Assumption Church in Morristown, New Jersey, and Welcome Home Vets, founder of USA and Canada's Unsung Hiller Military Heroes Program, chaplain of the American Legion Post 59 and Northeast Chaplain Chapter 112 Field Artillery in Morristown, and Mary Queen of Nations missionary, raising thousands of dollars for the poorest people in the world. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, James Cavanaugh.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You all have so many true stories about the power of miracles, people who have been touched by the hand of God or one of God's angels, and we're going to ask you how we can get in touch with our angels a little later in the show. But these are stories of unexplained rescues, celestial visions, unexpected healings, protection in a dangerous situation, true stories of God's presence. But before we go into the stories, I'm going to ask each of you what this holiday season means to you, especially at this time. What your most grateful for, and what is your hope for the future, Lainey Belcastro?
For me, Christmas has always been the little holy family. Growing up, we always had our little manger in the house and little prayers that we would say from Advent on. And what I would really, I pray for, is that everyone keeps the spirit of the little Christ child alive in their hearts. I think if you keep the child alive in your heart, you can't think evil of other people. You know, children have a wonderful way of seeing the innocence in others and the goodness in others. They're very trusting and they believe. And I feel the same way. I think if you keep that child alive in your heart, you will see the Christ in everyone.
That's beautiful. And Loanne Mayer, what about you? What does this holiday season mean?
For me, I am so fortunate to have 6 children and 13 grandchildren. And all of them are working, and all of them are healthy at this moment in time. And even though we can't see them all because they live in different parts of the country, I feel that connection. And I'm really grateful for Zoom and things like that when we can keep that connection together and remind ourselves of how special we are as a family. And I agree with Lanny. It's very, very important time. My wish for the world at this point in time is that we can all remember that we are a family. This is a family of human beings around the world. There is no reason for us to be in any kind of anger or upset. And perhaps Christmas is what we need to remember, that God is with us. And that's what Emmanuel means.
Oh, that is absolutely inspiring. And Chaplain James Kavanaugh, what message of hope do you bring to all of us at this time of year? Can we achieve a healing soon?
Well, we definitely have the power within us to heal ourselves and heal our neighbors just by giving thanks to the Lord and accepting all the gifts that we have, despite the COVID and all the frustrations. Look around us, reach out with love, give to your neighbors, give to yourself. Don't expect anything in return. It'll come back 100-fold. And we will get through COVID. We will get through a lot of situations. But basically, we're here not alone. We're here together as a community. And basically, I guess the message is hang in there, stay together, thank the Lord for what we have, help your neighbors, and we'll get through this.
That is also very, very inspirational. And I know that we will all come together and this will all end very soon in a happy way for all of us. Miracles happen to people from all walks of life. I want you to share some of the wonderful stories that you have collected in books that you've all written. Lainey, we'll start with you, your favorite story in Chicken Soup for the Soul. You've got some very good ones, so I'm going to let you just reach in and pick one.
Thank you. Well, the latest one that just came out, the book was released in August, and in there is a beautiful story about someone that I really was very much in love with when I was much younger. And the book itself is Listen to Your Dreams. The story that I wrote and that was published in the book is Between Here and There. So I was very much in love with this man, and he was very much in love with me. And life got in the way, and we sort of lost contact with each other. But I always felt I was so blessed to have had him in my life. And as the decades passed, I started to think about him out of the blue. I had heard a beautiful song. That was my favorite year. You were my favorite love. And I started to really think so much about him, more than I ever did. And I tried finding him. I couldn't find him. When I actually left that relationship, it was very quick that we had parted. And he never really knew why I left. So it haunted me for years because I felt as though I had really let him down in a way. So this one particular night, after years and years have passed, I had a dream. And it was so, so visual. It was about 4:00 in the morning, and he was sitting on the side of my bed, looking as gorgeous as he always did when he was younger. And oh my goodness, yes. And we didn't speak with our mouths, but you know, through his eyes, I could really feel what he was trying to say. And he was actually dressed in this really beautiful beige suit that he used to love to wear. And he was wearing this brown tie that I had given him as a gift many, many years ago. And his eyes revealed to me that he knew why I had left him, and that he knew that I loved him so much. Mm-hmm. And then he turned and just walked away. And I was so shaken by that dream. I woke up and I felt as though he was really, his presence was really there. And it was so real, Jesse, that I was even afraid to Google him because I thought, oh my gosh, I felt like he had died. Wow. Well, a week or so afterwards, I did Google and his obituary was up and running. And I found out that the day he died was the day I had that dream.
Oh,
so
I feel like
there are, I did. And I really know that when I take my final breath, you know, I know now that love lives between here and there. And that's why I gave the title to that story, because he's there and I will be at some point following, I'm sure. But I know he'll be waiting to be a beautiful reunion.
Oh, I know he will. I know he will, Lenny. And you've heard from people all over the world from that story. And I really wish you would turn that one into a book. It is beautiful. And you have some other wonderful stories to share with us. We're going to go to Loanne Mayer. She has a story about being lost, a very interesting story, on a very snowy night and how an angel appeared to her. Go ahead, Loanne.
Well, actually, this wasn't my story. It was a story that was told when I was teaching Alma Daniels' Ask Your Angel some years ago, but it has stayed in my heart all the way through, partly because this woman that I'm going to tell you about lived in Chatham, and as you all know, we lived in Chatham for
40 years. Yeah, I thought she lived in Chatham.
Years.
That's why I mentioned you. Okay,
yeah, go ahead. Right. But the story that she told, it's interesting when you get a group of people together, even the group of three who will talk about angels when they will never talk about it at any other time. And in this particular workshop that we were doing, this lady stood up and told us about how she was traveling down Southern Boulevard, a road that many of you know, one evening quite late. And she had was worried because it was dark and it was slick from the snow. It was just the fresh snow that was causing all kinds of ice patches and so forth. And she couldn't wait to get home. And so she was paying very close attention, she thought, and suddenly a deer raced across the road. And in her confusion of the deer and trying to avoid him, she wound up in a ditch on Southern Boulevard in an area where there was at the time no other houses lit up. It was later in the evening than she normally would be out. And as she got out of the car to look and see what happened and what she could do about it, a tow truck came behind her. And the man came over to her and said, "Listen, you really got a problem here. Let me help you." And so he pulled her car out of the ditch, and she was so grateful. She said, "Thank you so much, but I'm scared. Do you think you could follow me home? I'm only down on River Road, but it would make me feel better that I don't hit another ice patch." And he said, "Of course I'll follow you home." And he did, all the way to her driveway off of River Road. And as she pulled into the driveway, she went back to him and said, "Could you just wait a minute? I don't have money, but I would like to give you something for your trouble. Stay right here. I will be right back." So she ran in the house and got money out of her husband's wallet and said, and went right back to him to thank him. She was so grateful. And when she got back into the driveway, there was no tow truck. And more importantly, there were no tire tracks. As if he hadn't been there at all. And she feels, and I think I still feel, this was an angel that helped her at a time when she really needed to get home and be safe.
That story is so inspiring. It also reminds me of Joan Wester Anderson. She was the angel author I had on for 25 years, and she was number one on the Times bestseller list. But we all have an angel. And before we go on this break, I want to ask you, how do we get in touch with our angels? Do we have more than one angel? I'm going to ask each of you very quickly. We'll start with you, Chaplain.
Well, I'm sure we have many angels. In fact, I had no idea why I was going to be on today's show, but you just opened up my heart. Quite frankly, because I've had different experiences and they surround around December 5th. I had one this year. I won't go into that now, but December 5th, 6 years ago, I was lifted up by the Lord, and it was the night I died, basically. And
really?
I just realized this December 5th, that 16 years ago, that was the last I had seen my brother and given him words of inspiration before he died 2 days later. So there's many angels. I felt Don's presence this December 5th. I felt my bride of 49 years presence over the years. And you're really opening up my heart right here on the radio.
Oh, I'm so glad, because shows are always with us. We never lose anyone. That's really very, very touching. Do we have more than one angel, and have we known them forever, Loanne?
Well, I believe, I have six children. One of them, I'm convinced, has a dozen angels, because he's been through so many things. But I believe that all of us receive guardian angels to come with us. I picture it like when my children were younger and the little ones were outside, and I would send the older ones out to watch them. I said, don't come back without your brother. Make sure they're safe. And I think that's what God does with the angels. He sends them with us as we arrive on the planet, and He wants the angels to bring us home. But in the meantime, when you're going through a crisis or two, and many of us have, just as Jim said, I do believe that you get extra angels, angels that come to help you through a difficult time, a COVID, a death, a grief, or a special, you need special energy to get beyond wherever it is you are. And often they are people that come into our lives and go out of our lives as human beings. But they are not. They are angels in disguise, just like in the Bible.
Certainly are. I've got to go on a break, so I'll get you on the other side of this break, Lainey, with your story, because I know you have many angel stories. Miracles happen every day. And authors and speakers, Lainey Belcastro, Loanne Mayer, and Chaplain James Cavanaugh share true personal stories of angels, miracles, and answered prayers. I'm Jesse Fries. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is a special Christmas show today on Angels and Miracles on WMTR 1250 AM, a Beasley Media Group station, with Lainey Belcastro, Loanne Mayer, and Chaplain James Cavanaugh. Lainey, I want you to talk a little bit about angels. I know you have many angel stories, and I'm going to let you pick one right after you tell us. But can we ask our angel for protection, and are they always with us?
I believe very much, yes. I have felt my guardian angel many, many times. In fact, you know, I'm very close to Padre Pio, who is now a saint, so many sessions have occurred with him. One of the things that Padre Pio really emphasizes is that we get to know our guardian angel by christening them, give them a name. And I did. I gave my guardian angel the name of Claire. Don't ask me why. It just popped in my head. And I really so much wanted to know if Claire really would be okay with that name. And this particular day that I chose that name for my angel, I was running into a bank to try to get a child support check cash way, way, way back when. And the angel didn't help me with that, though. But anyway, this little angel, this woman came out of the bank, and we practically bumped into each other. And I had not seen her in years. I mean, really, really years, years, years. And she was a very devout woman. And I had just said to my angel in the car before I ran in, I hope you like your name. I like it. I hope you give me a sign that you like it too. I bumped right into this woman after not seeing her for years, and her name was Claire. So I just know that my guardian angel loves the name Claire. But I do believe that, I like Loanne, I also believe that we are surrounded by other angels. And I think our wonderful family that have passed, I have intercessions with my sister and my mother and my grandmother and my father and brother. I always feel them, and they always give me signs when I really need to have some kind of affirmation that everything's going to be okay. I feel them, and they give me a little sign that I can't miss. I know it's them, you know, and then I know everything's going to be fine.
Well, that's comforting. And what part does dreams play in all of this? Do our angels give us messages in dreams? Who wants to take that?
Well, I have a great belief that they do come in dreams. If you do dream, and you can take time to write down your dream, I think that helps a great deal for you to decipher where it came from, whether it was the good Lord or the angels or your loved ones on the other side, because we have the ability to receive all of this information if we are open to it. And I think sometimes, I remember one lady in one of my classes saying to me, if I ever saw an angel, I'd probably die of fright. And my reaction was, if that's the way you feel, my guess is the angel won't appear to you. They're not going to cause you to die of fright. But I do think that as we've gotten older and wiser in our world, we are realizing that God gives us so much help in so many ways.
Oh, he
dreams
does.
Can be very much a part of that, and they are an age-old resource.
In Psalms 91, it talks about angels, my favorite psalm in the Bible. Angels are all around us. And getting back to Lainey, when she was talking about, you are a children's book author, and you've written a story called Harriet's Heartbroken Heart, a healing book for children who have lost someone special in their lives. And with so many people losing other people today, too, that's very appropriate. And children do need this, Lainey.
Yes, it's true. You know, well, many, many years ago, and of course, I love being, Morristown is my home. And I'm living out in PA now, so I miss it. I miss it very, very much. But we had, my daughter and I both had 15 years of interactive storytelling. And probably a lot of people there will probably remember Mrs. Terracotta Pots and Twig and We Planted Dreams for Children. And it was an incredible
story.
And it just, it introduced us. That little vehicle guided us to so many hospice organizations where we would actually go in those days without government compliance. You could go in and actually hug the children and be with the little ones, sit on their bed. And these were little ones who were passing. So we captured so many last smiles of these beautiful angels. But I have to tell you, Jesse, this book was written for the siblings that were left behind because of all the emotions that they go through. And, you know, we were just guided to write that book too, which is now worldwide, and it's just been really an incredible journey. However, I really want to share that we would go in and we would be so close to these beautiful little children before they would pass. And we witnessed where these little ones, I never saw a child afraid to die. Never did I ever witness that with these children. And they all would say that they were visited by spirits. That little spirits would come to them, and they knew where they were going, and they knew it was a beautiful place. They knew that the journey for some was very short, and they knew that some journeys that some people had to stay on because other things had to be done through that other person. But they always worried about their moms and dads being left without them, but they still had this wonderful strength about them that they knew their faith was so strong. And there was one little boy who was very terminal. People were, you know, crying all the time with him. And, you know, and he one day said to me, now I went to see him all by myself this one day, dressed in costume. And I had seen him. This was my third visit. And he said, oh, Mrs. Potts, where is the pretty lady who stands with you? She's not here today. Where's that pretty lady? And I have never had a lady with me when I was doing, you know, the storytelling.
Yeah, I got a minute left for this, but go ahead.
I'm so sorry. And so I didn't know what he was saying, but believe it or not, I went back a couple of weeks ago, and this lady told this little boy that he was going to go home. And when I went back, he did go home. There was a miracle. He was supposed to die. And this lady that was with me told him that you're going home. And that was a spirit, that was an angel that must have been standing right next to me to give him faith and to let him know he was indeed going to go home. So they're there.
That is so helpful to so many people. I know that book really caught on, and it was very, very good to have that reformation that everything is all right. I think of St. Jude, too, down in Texas. My heart aches for those children. We have to go into break, and when we get back, we're going to get Chaplain James Cavanaugh's take on how to overcome the recent loss of a loved one, because it can be extremely difficult. I'm Jesse Fries. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Miracles happen every day, and authors and speakers, Lainey Bel Castro and Loann Mayer and Chaplain Jim Cavanaugh, share their personal stories of angels, miracles, and answered prayers, stories so needed this Christmas and Hanukkah. And while we're on dreams and people that have lost people, how do we heal, Chaplain James Cavanaugh?
Well, over the last 4 weeks, as voluntary chaplain for 3 military support groups, it just so happens that 4 friends had died suddenly that were in the military. I got to 3 of their funerals. I only went to the interments because of COVID restrictions and so forth. But kind of the way I get over those loved ones was I created a memorial for a sergeant major in the Marine Corps who had devoted his life to raising funds for McLef, which they raised $74 million for the children.
Wow.
The children of the Marine Corps, people that had died, CIA and FBI. And another one, basically, he had in his mind that he wanted to fly flags over 287 and so forth. So we're going to have that as a project within the American Legion, hopefully. And another person, similarly. So I try to think of it as having a living memorial when these people pass away. And it also reminds me of one thing that basically I would recommend to everyone, and it's a healing process that you talked about, is don't look back and say, oh, I wish I had. No, do it now. Every time is precious. I learned that from 6 years ago after my own putting myself in God's hands. And life is precious. Hug someone that's close to you. I realize that some of these are distant hugs with the 6-foot rule and the mask rule and so forth, but share your love in different ways. Don't keep it in your heart locked up, because love isn't love until you give it away. There's many, many friends. Don't make the mistake of not telling someone I love you. It can make their day and it can make your day.
Right. That is so beautifully put. And Loann, you had a beautiful message too. You said, this is a time for us to be angels forever. There's so many people fearful of the coronavirus, afraid to go to the store, afraid to go to the doctor, to meetings, they're afraid to travel. But we can be angels, you said, to those who need help.
That's Loann. And it's very contagious. Fear is contagious, Jesse. And what happens is that people kind of catches the next person and the next person. And so I believe that our job, people who know they're angels and we know that the good Lord is with us always, is to be an angel to other people. As Chaplain Jim was saying, it's very important to do what you can to help people who are in your face, people who are next door. My neighbor died yesterday. And so to do what you can to help that person and that family. But the other aspect of it that I think is so important too, that we need to learn as a humanity family, is to learn to forgive one another. I think part of we hold so many grudges, and especially in this day and age of political or any other way, we really need to pray for one another and to forgive one another in the best way we can. In fact,
Go ahead.
You remember the Mother Teresa prayer, which I just thought was so great. It was on the wall of her children's school, about do it anyway. Do you remember that?
Yes.
People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway, she says. And then she goes on, if you would allow me, if you are kind, people who may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives, be kind anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend your life creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have. It will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway.
That is absolutely beautiful. And Mother Teresa, when we think of all she did for humanity and how she helped with the food, and because we're so food insecure right now, I want to get that a little later in the show. But Christmas and Hanukkah is a joyous time for most. But those who have recently lost a loved one, it can be extremely difficult. And so you should make that extra phone call, as you just suggested, to check on them, Loanne. How does one cope with loss and begin to heal? Want to take that, Lainey?
Well, I can tell, especially when I was with the little children, the most important thing is that you have to let them really feel the loss that they are feeling. Don't hide it. You know, there's anger that they go through. There's deep sadness. There's fear. But one of the most beautiful things that I think you could encourage, especially little ones, is that death isn't an ending. It's only a new beginning. And every day we have an opportunity to have new beginnings in our life. We can get up and we can close the door and we can close our dreams. But we have to stay positive, and we have to really believe that there is a plan in place too. You know, when you get to be an older person, which I am now, young at heart, but old in other ways. But you know, I have to tell you, when you get to this point, you really sit back and you see this wonderful mosaic of yourself and how all these little pieces that you thought weren't fitting, well, God was there. And he was actually putting all those wonderful pieces together. And here you are, you survived. And you've been challenged, and you've got this wonderful inner strength and this wonderful faith. So to me, death is not really an ending ever. It's really just a new beginning. And it's a glorious one, because we're going to be with people we love, and we're going to be with the Creator who really thought of us first, which I think is incredible. He took a chance with me.
That was a beautiful chance he took. They got to go on a break, but when we get back, we have lots more. Miracles happen every day. And authors and speakers, Lainey Belcastro, Loanne Mayer, and Chaplain James Cavanaugh share their personal stories of angels, miracles, and answered prayers. I'm Jesse Fries. We'll be right back. Welcome back. How does one cope with the loss and begin to heal, especially right now with the pandemic? Each year, it was up to 9%, and it's more than that, thanks to that horrible disease. But a person loses a family member. No one is immune. But when grief takes over your life and you begin to feel helpless, there is help. And it's especially hard to lose a child. Loanne, you lost your precious daughter. How did you cope with that loss?
Well, of course, like everyone else, you go into complete shock, and that is part of the process. And I think that's an important aspect to talk about, that grief is not an event. Grief is a process. And people go through a process sometimes for a very long time. And Cindy died 15 years ago, and it still hurts my heart not to see her, you know, the way we had seen her for the 40 years prior to that. However, I have learned through Cindy and the death of my mother, which was just a few months earlier than that, that the loved ones that we have are still very close to us and keep an eye on us in a way, and are willing to be in touch with us if we need to. So when I finally realized that and began doing transpersonal journaling, I ultimately wrote a book about the things that my mother and my daughter told me after they died. And one of the most important things was that we need to heal our relationships as quickly as possible. Forgiveness is my drumbeat. Forgiving each other for not being understanding, forgiving each other for not being there. I had to forgive myself for not being, I was in England when Cindy died, so not being there to nurture her, to share with her this last few minutes was very hard on me. But I had learned through Cindy and through my mother's transpersonal journaling that love is the healing force, as Lani was saying, that there is so much love between our family members, and sometimes even people who weren't so wonderfully kind to us. There is love between us. And so if we can latch on to the love and we can follow that with forgiveness, I have found that in helping other people with their grief, that those two are the magical formula. And if you ask your angel to help you find a way to forgive, and I had a couple of people that were very hard for me to forgive in Cindy's death, that eventually the forgiveness is the healing force that pushes you further into the grief healing. And at the end of the day, you can realize that everybody was doing the very best they could with the understanding they had at the time.
So after a period, though, you never, ever forget. You can think about your loved one without pain, and slowly you begin to find joy. And Leni, you lost a sister from a drug overdose, which was very horrifying. And of course, Chaplin, you lost your beautiful wife. Do you both want to make a comment on that, Leni?
Sure. Well, actually, the one experience that we did have, you know, it was such a huge shock with her, and it was an accidental overdose, but she was addicted to pain medication. And a very strong spirit. I have to say, Diane was really an incredible spirit, a wonderful helpmate for me when I was going through my divorce and raising my daughter, full of love and light. And my brother and I really had a hard time trying to understand why she did this to herself, you know, that she wouldn't go out and try to go into a rehab, and we tried everything. But at any rate, this one particular day, at Thanksgiving, we were talking about her, and we still had a lot of resentment and anger and not quite understanding why she did such a thing to herself and to the family. And on my way home from my brother's house, my sister, by the way, adopted polar bears. It was a big thing for her. I stopped at a store to pick up a birthday card, and there was no one in the store. It was 12 midnight, and I was running through the store, and all of a sudden this woman stood next to me at the card counter, and she handed me two cards. They were identical, and they were a polar bear, a picture of a polar bear, and his little paw was over his eyes. And when you opened the card, it said, "I'm sorry." So I was like, oh my God, this had to be my sister giving us the message that she was really sorry for what had happened, and we have to forgive her so we can go on with our lives. And I looked for that woman in the store. She was dressed in an Indian garb. She had turquoise and gold on, and she was very old and weathered. You couldn't miss her. And there was no one in the store because it was like midnight. Not one person saw that woman. And I went back to the card counter. There were no other cards other than those two. So I really truly believe that was an angel that came in for my sister, or maybe my sister coming in that form. I don't know. But it was such a message of healing for us, and it really did heal my brother and I. We could put Diane to rest at that point, that she understood where she was, that she was sorry, and that we could go on now with our lives too. So it was really a miracle. That got published, by the way. That's the story that's in Chicken Soup for the Soul. So just incredible.
Oh, that is really very, very telling, that book. But really, James Cavanaugh, we'll just start with you right now. You lost your wife, but she's always around you. They never leave. Isn't that true?
Well, it's absolutely true. The day that she died, basically, for 2 weeks, I basically stayed in the hospital and slept there. And a doctor came over to me towards the end, and he said, your children have kind of ratted on you then while you're staying here. I know it's very uncomfortable, but they learned that I met my bride the 49 years on May 17th, many, many years ago when I first met her. I basically learned during a 7-hour conversation, quite a date, and that basically she feared dying alone. And I basically was not going to let that happen. So I was there thick or thin while she was going through the cancer, and I knew that the time was ticking away. The hourglass was going down, and she didn't speak for a day and a half. And when the doctor basically said they're not going to operate, and he asked whether I would leave politely, and since he knew this background, and I put up my hand and he said, "Oh no, I'm not chasing you out." I said, no, I understand. I'd learned from nurses many times ago that basically hearing's the last thing to go. So I leaned over to Kay and I just whispered, something. I told her I was going over to the monastery to have Mother pray for you, because we had adopted one of the Carmelite sisters. But in short, I ended up saying a couple more words, and then all of a sudden, after a day and a half of not opening her eyes or talking to anyone, she responded and looked up and said, "I love you too." And that was basically the last that she ever said. So she gave me peace. She gave me peace. And she's with me daily, and she wants me to move on with my life. And
you certainly are moving on with your life. You've been given a special journey here, and you've got a lot to do, because you raised millions of dollars for people all over the world, people that are food deprived. We've got to go on a quick break, and Jesse Fries will be right back. Welcome back. We're talking to Lainey Bel Castro, Lo Ann Mayer, and Chaplain James Cavanaugh, with two stories about the powers of miracle, people who have been touched by the hand of God or one of God's angels. And there's so much, but I'm going to let you tell one more quick story, Lainey, maybe the one about your dad, very quickly.
Oh, sure. Okay, I was about ready to get married. And 2 weeks before the wedding, I was saying goodbye to all of my friends at work, and we were having a great big luncheon. Everybody was having a bridal luncheon for me. And all of a sudden, I got this voice. It was really, really intense. You could not help but listen to it. And it said, "Go home, go home." And I was so moved by it. My father had been recuperating from having a leg amputated. And I thought, oh my gosh, something's happened to Dad. So I apologized, I got in the car, and I headed home, only to find my father looking absolutely radiant and gorgeous. And I thought, oh my gosh, it must be just wedding jitters. What's going on with me? So he and I sat and we shared a sandwich. And just totally out of context, I don't even know why the subject came up. And I asked Dad if he was afraid to die. And his response to me was, "Absolutely not. I've had 41 glorious years with my best friend and lover, your mom. She's the love of my life. I've raised 4 children that I absolutely know will take care of themselves. I've traveled all over the United States and I love it." And he said, "But here's the thing. When I take my final breath, I will see my mother for the first time, because my grandmother had died when my father was only 9 months old." So he never had a relationship with his mom. Well, I go back to work. I come home. It's about 6 o'clock at night. And my father has a massive coronary in front of me. And he's rushed to the hospital. And I'm the only one waiting, you know, for the family to come in now. And so when my mother came, and my brothers and my sister, we were all together. I was the messenger daughter. The reason I heard that voice to go home was to hear that affirmation from my father with his strong faith that he was not afraid to die. And all I kept thinking of was, there he is now having this glorious reunion with his mother that he didn't know. And, you know, it was a glorious thing for me that I was guided to actually be home with him, to have that messenger. And so that's another story that Chicken Soup for the Soul put in there, and it's called The Messenger Daughter. And it was really an incredible experience. You know, this doesn't happen, Jesse, unless there's angel intercessions. And, you know, you don't even have to have faith. I think it's just in everybody. I think you just are born with this wonderful gift, but you have to learn to listen to the voice that's inside you.
What a gift it is. And also, Lo Ann Mayer, you had a very international, interesting grief counseling. We don't have too much time to talk about that, but just very briefly, tell us who is in your grief counseling and how many people that you've helped overcome sorrow.
Well, basically, out of the book that I wrote, the Celestial Conversations book, I met 2 other women, one of them born in India, Uma Garish, and one of them born in Israel. And as we got to know one another for over a period of a year, we realized that this was, grief is an international language. and that it doesn't matter what your faith is. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't even matter whether you believe in God. Grief is a language that we all go through at certain points in our lives, and we need to learn to find ways through it, to find our purpose at the other end of it. And so the three of us started something called the International Grief Council, and 2 or 3 years ago, and in the process of doing that, we put on some programs to help other people who are grieving know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a reason that you're going through this, and that the love of our lost loved ones are really not there. They're there to help us through the next chapter of our lives. And it's been an honor to find a way to reach out to people around the world, because the COVID has caused international grief.
Oh, it certainly has. Do you all see very quickly a healing for the COVID? Will we go on to the next chapter in our lives?
I do. I see that we are learning. I mean, there's so many good things coming out of this COVID time, these times where families are together, forced to be together. They're not running around separately. They're together, and they're learning how to be with one another and have some quality time together. And there are other good things. Meditators all over the world who are saying prayers or meditations for the world to find its own healing world and healing ideas. And I think out of this is going to come some very important understandings of the family of the humans. The human family needs to become aware of the fact that we are family and that we can help each other. And if we would just be open to that, the world would be a better place.
Oh, that's true. Do you want to add to that quickly, Lainey Belcastro?
Yes, I so agree with Luann. And I also feel, I know I've been hibernating ever since March, and I really love it. I've always been an outgoing personality and lots of people surrounding myself, but I've been drawn into the simplicity of life. And you find out that you can live with very little, and you can still, somehow find this beautiful spirituality in the very simple things that are around you. And they're here every day.
And right now I'm getting the signal that we have to end the show, but Chaplain James Cavanaugh, who has raised thousands of dollars for the poorest people in the world, I wanted to ask him how we overcome physical challenges, poverty, unemployment, hunger, but I think we have time for the most important, a prayer from Chaplain James Cavanaugh to end the show.
I'm going to be honored to basically give you an abbreviation of the St. Francis Peace Prayer to pull some things together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank you, Lainey Belcastro, for your beautiful stories today, and wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
And you too. And to everyone out there, just embrace this beautiful season and the love of Jesus Christ.
And Luann Mayer, thank you to you for all you do and your inspirational life. Thank you.
Thank you, darling, for yours.
And Chaplain James Cavanaugh, thank you. And as Morris County's Father Cater once said, it's not what happens in life that will do you in, it's how you respond. I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. For Julie Briggs and myself, have a good day.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Christ was born.